Hi, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung. If you're one of our regular listeners, then you know that during these last few episodes of the year, I've been doing a best of series. Today, you'll hear our most popular episode ever, and this one, Should I Stay or Should I Go? We talked with divorce coach Kate Anthony on how to decide whether to stay in your marriage or go through a divorce. I also want to announce a super exciting change to this podcast. When I first started this podcast, I called it Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast, because I named it after my book, Breaking Free, that I wrote in 2013, as well as my company, Breaking Free from Divorce. Since then, as many of you know, I published my second book, Negotiate Like You Matter, The Surefire Method to Step Up and Win, and it did go straight to number one, and it made me realize that all of us, my dear ones, you and me, are not only navigating and negotiating divorce and negotiating about buying a car or a house, we're negotiating for living, including negotiating internally with our own selves and our own head trash sometimes. So as of next week, this podcast will be called Negotiate Your Best Life. Susan Guthrie has decided to move on and pursue other endeavors, and I wish her well in those. As for this show, if you're going through a divorce, the tips on how to negotiate and navigate relationships, finances, children, will all still be right here. And we will also be talking to people who have navigated their way out of struggle and effort and difficulty and figured out how to reach the pinnacle of success by negotiating their best lives. I am already so inspired by them, and I know you will be too. I can't wait to continue this journey with you. So enjoy this last episode of Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast, and I look forward to connecting with you right here next week for our first incredible episode of Negotiate Your Best Life.
Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
But I was agonizing and agonizing, and I said, how do you know when it's time to go? And he just looked at me really kindly, and he said, when you know, you'll know. And I was like, this is not helpful. God love you, but this is not the answer that I'm looking for.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is, should I stay or should I go? With what I call one of our own, divorce coach and podcast host, Kate Anthony. And I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So as Rebecca just said, we're excited for the show today because we do have one of our own. Kate Anthony is the host of her own divorce podcast. It's called the Divorce Survival Guide Podcast. I love that name because who does not need a survival guide to get through divorce? We know that. And the podcast really does provide that. I was just looking through the list of experts that Kate's had on, and it's a really well-rounded group. I'm happy to say Rebecca and I will both be appearing on her show shortly, so we look forward to that. But today we're excited because Kate is joining us. She is, in addition to the podcast, she's a certified divorce coach, and her particular niche, which is a really interesting one, is that she helps women decide if they should stay in or leave their marriages. And we all know that can be probably, you know, the toughest question that you have to answer ever. But she empowers women to find their strength, passion, and confidence, even in the most disempowering of circumstances, which certainly can be divorce. And she helps people to move forward with concrete plans, set on a solid foundation, and putting their children at the center, and I love this, but not in the middle of all the decisions that are made. So in addition to her certification as a coach, Kate has also trained as a relationship coach, and she's an expert in communication, co-parenting, and emotional intelligence, all helpful in the world of divorce. So we're very excited to have you here today, Kate. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you both for having me. I'm so excited that we get to have all of these conversations. It's great.
Yes. Yeah. And welcome from me as well. We had fun not only recording my podcast for you, which will be coming out at some point, but also doing Laura Wasser's podcast together. And you and I got to meet Shaq, which was a whole lot of fun. It's like humongous.
I was just going to say that picture that you posted, Rebecca, was like you came up to basically his like chest level.
I said the other day that the top of my head did not even reach the bottom of his armpit.
Like, so ridiculous.
So huge. Yeah. We talked about this yesterday. Like as big as you think he is, he's bigger.
Yeah. He's just a huge presence. I mean, humongous. It's like you can't even believe that he's part of the regular human race, like this, like one of us.
Well, think big
he's
personality,
like from the land of
too.
The giants or something.
Yeah.
Funny guy, interesting guy. But so, Kate, back to you. You're a divorce coach, divorce podcast host. I know you're like in the process of also working on a book. And, you know, all of this didn't just come about because you just love divorce topics so much. It all came from where it often comes from for most of us, that you went through your own divorce, which, you know, you had, you always joke, and I think it's pretty funny that you had like a horrible traumatic marriage, but you've had a wonderful, amazing divorce. So, but tell us, you know, about where you were, because there's so many people who are listening that are where you were, and they're wondering, you know, about staying or going or whatever, and tell us what led you to go and then start on the journey that you're on now.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful intro. And yeah, I did not just wake up one day and decide like, I think divorce is really where I want to spend my life focusing. But I did, my marriage was super toxic, super difficult. And you know, we were so poorly matched. We can sort of spin it any way. You know, he was emotionally abusive. I was codependent. There's all sorts of layers in there. But at the end of the day, we were a terrible match. And it made for a very, very toxic environment for ourselves, for both of us, and for our son. And after years of work, I mean, we put in so many years of work. We were in couples therapy. We were in group couples therapy, which is actually a thing. We were in, we each had individual therapists. We were both in 12-step programs, and we were doing our own other personal development programs. I mean, we were doing it all, and none of it worked. We were still fighting like cats and dogs. It was terribly, terribly toxic. And I didn't know anyone who had gotten divorced besides my parents, right? And so when I started meeting people who had gotten divorced, I would ask them. And I actually, one of the people that I asked was a guy who was in our group couples therapy group. Who was on his second marriage. Like the second marriage was the one that he was working on in group couples therapy, but he had been divorced once before. And so one day I finally got up the courage to ask him, and I sort of took him aside and I was like, David, how do you know when it's time to go? Right? Because you think that if you just try, there's got to be one more thing. I remember being at that point where I was like, if I just change this about myself, if I change how I'm dressing, if I change how my tone of voice, my husband was very critical of the way I sound, the way I spoke, which now is like, oh my God. in hindsight, it's crazy, but when you're in it, there's that, you know, that the analogy about being a frog in water. And if you haven't heard that, I'll tell it, you know, that if you put a frog, dump a frog into a pot of boiling water, it will jump out real quick. But if you put a frog in a pot and put it on a very, very low simmer, it will cook itself to death because it just doesn't, its body doesn't recognize the temperature change over time. And that was me in my marriage, right? So if someone had sort of just come into me and said some of the things that my ex-husband was saying to me in our marriage, I would have been like, are you kidding? And I would have punched them in the face, maybe. I would now. But at the time, it was just this low boy, the simmer. And that's, you know, unfortunately, that's a lot of what emotional abuse is, right? So I went to David. I was agonizing and agonizing. And I said, how do you know when it's time to go? And he just looked at me really kindly. And he said, when you know, you'll know. And I was like, this is not helpful. God love you, but this is not the answer that I'm looking for. And ultimately I did know when I knew. Ultimately, I did have a moment where I was hit and I was struck with the realization that this was not good. It was not good for me. It was not good for my son. For years, I'd been thinking I had to stay for my son. And what I realized in this moment was I have to go for my son because the toxicity in our marriage was so intense that I knew that my son was going to grow up to become a man who was critical and emotionally abusive, who was controlling and all of these things, and that he was going to pick women who were small and meek and compliant and codependent. And as much as I sort of felt that I was this strong, powerful woman on the inside, really I was anything but. Really I was codependent. And I was giving my power away day after day after day after day. And when I realized, when I saw it through the lens of what am I modeling to my son, there was no more question. There was literally no more question. And that was when I decided to go. And I think when I finally made that decision, we were so relieved to be sort of done with the fight that we were like, okay, we've done all this work. It didn't work. Now let's put that to work to have the best divorce we can possibly have. So all the communication skills that we've been studying that didn't work to save our marriage, we put into our divorce and we became expert communicators in the process of our divorce, to the point where our mediators were like, you guys, what is going on here? Like, are you sure you're getting divorced? We were like, no, yes, we are very sure. And so as we went through this process, people who knew us were watching us and watching this play out, and they were like, oh my God. And then as the people around us started to get divorced as well, as they do, usually when one person goes, other people around you, it's sort of like a little domino effect, which is a whole other conversation. And people started coming to me and saying, how did you do this? You guys have done this so well. How did you do this? And having been a stay-at-home mom, I was reinventing myself and I was redoing my career. I'd been an actor for 30 years. I was on a TV show at the time. But I knew that I did not want to continue down that path. I didn't want to be an actor anymore. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do the LA acting thing anymore. And so I was like, what's next? And this whole divorce thing just kept coming back. And finally I was like, all right, I have to get like trained in this. I have to actually know what I'm doing. And so for the last 8 years, I have been helping women go through their divorces, try and decide whether to stay or go, and then help them through the process from the emotional, logistical, you know, psycho-emotional, logistical and strategic standpoints. Did I hit all the points?
I think you did. And actually, I want to go back and maybe like unpack a little bit of that, because I think there is so much here that is going to resonate with our listeners, that feeling that you talk about, the frog analogy, but that feeling of you don't really know how bad it is until you get away from it. And I experienced that myself in my marriage. I mean, you talk about your husband didn't like how you talked. It brings to mind, my husband didn't like how I folded socks. And it would cause, you know, he'd go into his sock drawer and we'd have like a major argument over did it one way and he wanted it done another way. And that's what flashed in my mind when you said that. And it wasn't until I got away from that marriage, thank you, God, that, you know, I started to realize that having arguments over how you fold socks is probably not a great relationship. So, you talk about on your website and in what you say about looking for a burning bush, but often, you know, telling you it's time to go, but you don't really find that. So you mentioned that you looked at it perhaps from the perspective of your child, and that started to lead you there. Is that something that you talk about with your clients, like taking it outside and sort of looking in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things we look at, right? I mean, the bottom line is we'll do anything for our children, right? We will do far more for our children than we'll ever do for ourselves, right? And so yeah. When we sort of do take that sort of like, bird's eye view of it, like, is this, what are you modeling? Like, let's just break it down. What is the predictable outcome of how your children are going to be in relationships with this as their model? And often that's super clarifying.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually, in my first marriage, had that same realization because I was like, I don't want my children to think that this is what all that they should expect from their life and their marriages or their relationships going forward, you know, it's seeing basically a loveless marriage.
Yeah. And especially for my daughter, my older daughter at the time, I really didn't want her to settle for less, you know, from a husband and that sort of thing. So that was a huge defining moment for me. So I wanted to get into a little more of the specifics with you because there are going to be a lot of people listening and they're going, should I stay? Should I go? They often ask me as a divorce attorney, and I always tell them, I can't answer that question for you. I'm here to facilitate if you choose to go.
Right. That's your job. Right. Yeah.
I often say there are the three A's, the three deadly sins of marriage, which are abuse, addiction, and adultery.
Yes. I've kind of added a little bonus to that over the last few years, which would be like personality disorders or mental stuff. You know, we've seen a lot more of that recently.
Yeah. Although they kind of just lead to abuse.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
So what kinds of specifics or are there that you ask clients to take a look at when you're asking them to assess whether or not they should stay or go? Do you have like a checklist or anything like that?
It's not so much a checklist. So I have a program. I have a program that I take people through because I don't think this is like a checklist kind of thing. This isn't a pros and cons list, right? I mean, you could, right? You could do a pros and cons list, but then you'd have to weigh each thing, right? It, very specifically. Like how much does each of these things matter? Like the pros may outweigh the cons, but the cons may actually be more weighty, right? So, yeah. It's not a checklist, but I do have, you know, I think that there are three really important areas to look at. The first is ourselves, right? We have to look at our own internal workings and our own operating systems and how we ended up in these relationships that are not satisfying us, right? So I do a lot of work with women on building confidence and self-esteem. Most of the time, it's a confidence and a self-esteem issue, where if you had total confidence, if you were like kick-ass confident, you probably may not be in this relationship, right? Maybe you would, and maybe you would. So then that's something to look at too, right? But for me, most of my clients, it's about building trust in ourselves, like trust in their own intuition, in their gut, in their needs, in their desires, in their wants, right? That they matter. So the work, you know, I do a lot of work with them on grounding and rooting themselves in their own personal power. And then I look at sort of outside conditions, outside forces, right? The outer world, like we are in especially right now, I mean, it's like coming to a head. These like patriarchal structures are so ingrained, but in cis hetero relationships, which is most of the time what we're talking about, that these are the dynamics that are at play. So how much of this is systemic and how much of this is actually about your specific relationship, right? And if it's systemic, if you divorce this person, you're going to get married to someone else in the same system. So let's try and let's pull that apart a little bit. Are you both willing to learn and grow about these systemic issues that affect marriages? Women bearing the mental load. You know, are you with someone who is willing to hear what that means for you? Are you with someone who is actually advocating for your growth, right? Because a lot of women that I work with, when they start to grow and change, their husbands become very threatened and they want to shut that down. Now, we all should be able to grow and change beyond ourselves and who we are in this any given moment, right? And the question is, do you have a partner that supports and fosters that growth, or do you have a partner who's threatened by it and wants to shut it down at every turn? And that's very revealing. And then the third part is about relational stuff, right? So interpersonal. So I work on communication skills. Do you actually know how to communicate? Communication is a skill. It's a science. And I work very closely with my clients on the science of communication and how it actually works in interpersonal communication. This is something I used, I taught for years at in Fortune 500 companies. I taught interpersonal communication at some of the world's largest investment banks. So this is sort of, I geek out on this stuff. And then love languages and attachment styles, all of the stuff that we, and so when you start to break down this stuff and what is your history? What kind of generational trauma are you carrying? How far back have abuse cycles gone in your family? So as you can see, it's not a checklist.
In some ways, it is in the sense that you look at all the different areas in their lives.
Yes. Which I do. Yeah. Which answers the question, is it him, is it me, or is it the world, right?
And systemic.
It's systemic. And I do think that there's, and of course it's yes to all of them, right? And what can you own and what can you repair? Because the likelihood is that you'll just do it again if you don't.
We're going to take a quick break now to talk about our newest sponsor, Hello Divorce. Divorce is hard enough on its own. You're thrown into the legal system. You have no idea what you're doing. Hello Divorce understands that, and they offer an affordable, convenient online option for Californians. Easy form preparation, instant access to legal information, loads of articles, affordable, convenient, and low-stress divorce.
One of the things I love the most about Hello Divorce is the sheer number of options that it gives you. When you sign up for your free account, you get access to their curated library of tools and resources, and you also get a 15-minute free personalized divorce strategy session. They have a do-it-yourself option for divorce, but they also have an option that gives you your own legal document assistant who will handle your entire divorce start to finish for you. You can even hire the a la carte services of an attorney just to make sure you're on track. Without having to pay an expensive retainer, you can purchase increments of time in as little as 30 minutes. So find out more at hellodivorce.com and be sure to let them know you heard about it at Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on Should I Stay or Should I Go? With divorce coach and podcast host, Kate Anthony.
At the end of the day, I do not think that we should force people to stay in unhappy marriages just for children, because I don't think it's good for them. And actually, the research bears that out. There's been significant research that has tracked children over time, and divorce does not screw up kids. How we do divorce screws up kids.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including The Divorce Diaries, Finding the Humor in Divorce with comedian Michelle Traynor.
When I was getting divorced, I had to essentially produce the artistic way for me to get through it. Because I feel like even though I went on to study theater as my job, right? I always use it as a therapeutic tool. Like, that's what makes me happy. That's what fulfills me, as is filtering anything I'm going through movement or through acting or through comedy. And so it was just natural when I was getting divorced to put down on paper or on the microphone what was going on in my life.
And now we return to today's show.
One of the statistics that continually surprises our listeners and people that we talk to at cocktail parties is that although the divorce rate still hovers around that 50% for first marriages, it's higher for subsequent marriages. It goes up to about 60% for second marriages and 70 or above for third marriages beyond. And, you know, although divorce statistics seem to be dropping a bit, I just read something that said there are still over 700,000 divorces per year just in the United States alone. So it's, you know, an ongoing phenomenon, but people who try again are even more likely to fail in that marriage or have that marriage not work out. So why do you think the divorce rate is so much higher for those second and third marriages?
It's a great question. And I always say that I think the divorce rate is higher for second and third marriages because we don't do the work on ourselves to figure out what went wrong the first time and take responsibility for our parts in it. Even if it's who we chose, right? Or how we chose them, or what unconscious systems are at work, what our past is informing us, what, you know, how our past informs our present and future choices. And when we just keep trading out the spouse, thinking he's the problem or she is the problem, we unconsciously make the same choice. And listen, we might be like, oh my God, he is totally different. He is so different. And in, you know, 2 years, you realize, oh my God, it's exactly the same, right? Because our unconscious is making those choices. So we have to do the work on rewiring that part of our brains to make better and healthier choices. Otherwise, we are, you know, the path is laid out before us.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to make the same mistakes over and over again unless you learn.
Yep. Yeah.
I always say if I hadn't gone through my first marriage, which did not work, I would not have been so cognizant of the wonderful qualities that my current husband has, because they weren't things that perhaps I valued or was looking for. But I certainly learned to value them through the dissolution of my first marriage. So
absolutely.
You need to look at that. I think that's a great point for people.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. I love it. And I love that you touched on values, because that's one of the things that I work on a lot with women is, you know, and it becomes really clear when, you know, I work with some clients who are like, they so deeply value personal development, for example, right? They're working with a coach. Of course they do. And then their husband, they're married to someone who's like, this is who I was. This is who I was when you married me. This is who I've always been. I'm, you know, I don't believe in therapy. And it's like, what, you know, right or wrong, it is a complete misalignment of values, right? Like, you just don't match in that way.
Yeah. Even my own parents' marriage, my parents got divorced when I was 14. My mom used to say, you know, it wasn't his fault in some ways because he stayed exactly the same and I changed. I grew up. So, you know, sometimes it happens. You just kind of outgrow each other in some way or something, you know. So you have talked about, we touched a little bit on your thought process around your son when you were thinking about leaving or staying. We've talked about this before with some of our other guests, but I wanted you to specifically touch on whether or not you think somebody should stay in a marriage just for the kids. You hear that a lot. A lot of people think that they should. What is your thought on that?
My thought is, I mean, look, I'm not going to say like absolutely categorically no, right? And for the most part, I do think no. I think that we have been conditioned as women to put ourselves last, as mothers, to put ourselves last and always put ourselves on the back burner. And then we wonder why we're raising girls who are insecure, have, you know, eating disorders, have, you know, mental health issues and all of this stuff. this is what we're modeling. We're modeling the fact that we don't matter. And if your relationship, so there's a couple things, right? So if your relationship is toxic and abusive, absolutely not. You have got to get out for your children because what you're modeling is toxic. But if you're also just simply unhappy, if you have done all the work, if you have worked hard on yourself and your communication skills, and you've done everything in your power to try to heal this relationship, and you're still not happy, or too much water has gone under the bridge, there's too much time and energy, and you're truly deeply unhappy, and it is actually the marriage that's making you unhappy, not yourself or, you know, any of those other things, then yes, you should try and find your happiness somewhere else. You should not keep yourself oppressed and miserable just for the sake of your children, because guess what? They don't want that for you. They actually don't. And they want you to be happy. And they need to see, you know, we have to put our own oxygen mask on first. We have got to teach our children that it is okay. It's not being selfish if it's destructive and if it's irresponsible and if it's negating or ignoring the real work, that the personal development work that has to be done, then yes, that is not okay. But if you're doing that work, what we're modeling is self-care and self-respect and self-preservation. And that's important. That's super, super important. Now, I mean, you know, there's also, you know, what's important in your relationship, what's important in, you know, to you both. And, you know, there are some people that are perfectly happy to live with I know people who are perfectly content to live in a sexless marriage because everything else is okay. Or people who are perfectly content to live without, you know, intimate connection because they have great sex and everything else is okay. They get their other needs met from other areas, which is great. But if you're satisfied, they're not part of this conversation, right? So I'm not sure, does that answer it? I mean, I think that there's lots of things to consider, but at the end of the day, I do not think that we should force people to stay in unhappy marriages just for children, because I don't think it's good for them. And actually the research bears that out. There's been significant research that has tracked children over time, and divorce does not screw up kids. How we do divorce screws up kids.
One of my favorite little lines, I just have to say, is in Seinfeld, George Costanza, I don't know if any of you ever watched that show, but he was talking to the president of NBC's daughter, who was a teenager, and he goes, oh yeah, divorce is really hard. And then he goes, of course, I'm a product of my parents staying together, so you never know.
Right. True. Exactly. I have friends whose parents stayed together, and she and her brother would get on her knees every single night and beg God for them to divorce. You know, that was like crazy, you know, stuff flying all over the house and, you know, glasses being smashed everywhere. But yeah, right? I mean, and it's not that divorce screws up kids. The research is very clear on that. It's how we do divorce. It is a toxic litigation system. It's putting children in the middle. It's using them as pawns. Those are the things that screw up kids, not the actual divorce.
No, the conflict around a divorce.
Yep.
That's, and how their parents handle it.
Exactly.
But, you know, one question that just came to, or struck me while we were discussing this is, you know, you are helping people make that, you know, intimate, I'm going to call it, decision. Should I stay or should I go? And then you help them, for those who do decide to go, you do help them through the process. So I just wonder, of those who do decide to go, have you had any ever come back and say, gosh, I wish I hadn't gone?
No, never.
Never.
I mean, no, because I mean, here's the thing. Like, if you work with me one-on-one, this is 3 months of like intense coaching, right? It's like practically, you know, day in, day out. Like we're, you know, so the work that we do is intense enough that, and here's the thing. I don't push for that. I don't push for people to go. I push for people to be happy. And I help people really sort of discern. You know, ultimately, if you're hiring a coach or taking my program, if you're thinking, should I stay or should I go, to the depths that you're contacting me, the likelihood is that you have decided that you want to go. You just need a little permission. But that's not always the case. I mean, I just started working with a couple because she came to me for a consult and I was like, I don't think you want to leave this marriage. I think that this is something that you want to work on. So let's bring him in and let's do the relationship work. Right. So I don't advocate for divorce. I advocate for happiness, but once we've done that work and they've made that decision, like nobody decides, nobody goes into this lightly, right? Nobody makes that decision like, I don't know, let's try it.
Divorce sounds great. Let's do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's give it a shot. You know, like even a trial, quote, trial separation is like gut wrenching and, you know, you have turned over every stone by the time you get to that point. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking to myself, I mean, most clients almost all the time are like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, I thought it was horrible while I was going through it, but I'm so glad I did it. I mean, I can say that for my own divorce.
100%.
And so what inspirational advice would you give to people who are at their lowest right now and they're just not sure what to do?
Oh, well, first of all, like my heart just goes out to you, right? If you're at that place, my heart breaks for you because I know what it was like. I really do. And there is help. There's community. I have a Facebook group that is full of women who are going through this exact same thing. And every time someone comes new to the group, they're like, oh my God, I just read through this post. I can't believe that there are so many of us struggling with the same thing, right? So there's help in community, and find it, you know, whether it's in my group or anyone else's, find the community of women who are really going through this, and find help, you know, find a therapist, find a coach, because you literally do not have to go through any of this alone. I think in terms of inspiration, I mean, the thing that I always say that kind of rocks women's boats a little bit is that you deserve to be happy. You really do. And
everyone does.
Yeah. And while that sounds sort of trite and like, you know, like a lame meme, when you hold the truth of that and the depth of that, and you actually take that to your soul, like you, not like generally speaking, like actually you deserve to feel happy and fulfilled in your life, and you allow that to really settle into your bones, it's really profound. And I know that if someone had said that to me 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago, I just would have been like, I don't even think I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Literally didn't.
It seems so nebulous or so high, you know, high level, and you were down in that moment of just pain points, you know?
Yeah. But the idea that that would be possible for me was like, whoa, like really?
Yeah. Like you don't even allow yourself to go there.
Yeah.
No. But that is inspiration. I hope our listeners have been able to hear, you know, this is just a sort of a glancing blow at such a difficult topic or complicated issue. Where can, if there are listeners are in that place of should I stay or should I go or need help repairing the relationship, how can they reach out to you?
They can find me on my website, which is kateanthony.com. They can find me on Instagram, at the Divorce Survival Guide. They can find me on Facebook, and I mean, all of those links are on my website. So really just go to my website and also on, iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and the Divorce Survival Guide podcast is my podcast, and you know, links are everywhere.
And we'll put them all in the show notes as well.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks so much for sharing your journey with us and for the amazing work that you do in the world for women and for all who are stuck in that place right now. We really appreciate you spending your time with us today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I love it. I love connecting with you guys.
Thanks for joining us today for this last Best Of episode, which was our most popular episode of Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung. Make sure to tune in next week for the first episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I have a super special treat for you to help you jumpstart your 2020 and get it off on the right foot. It is incredibly inspiring and empowering, and you're going to be amazed by it. See you then, and thanks for listening. I am so incredibly grateful for each and every one of you.